Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Chris Dennis. Coming up, will Apoel Nicosia's Champions League dream finally be ended by Jose Mourinho's Real Madrid?
We cannot compare the history of both clubs. We cannot compare the footballistic and economical power of both clubs. But football is football, and we respect them a lot.
Tottenham and Bolton prepare for an emotional FA Cup replay at White Hart Lane, and the wickets continue to fall in Gaul. We'll be live in Sri Lanka for the latest on the first test against England. But we start with European Champions League football, where the first of the quarter-finals will take place later on Tuesday. Apoel Nicosia have enjoyed a fairy-tale journey in the competition so far, but will face their toughest test yet when they host the mighty Real Madrid. The Cypriot champions admit that even they are a little taken aback to be at this stage, having started the competition in the qualifying rounds. But Apoel's Argentine striker, Esteban Solari, says they've just kept improving.
We didn't expect to go so far in the Champions League, but I think that step by step we create a good atmosphere between the team, the people, and we start achieving some incredible things. And now we are here. I don't know. I think that there is a quality also. There is a lot of work behind all this, and we are very proud of this. We know that it's a very tough game that we have, and it will be very special for us as well, but we never lose our hopes.
In Tuesday's other quarter-final, Chelsea visit Benfica, who sit third behind Braga and Porto in Portugal's top division. The Chelsea manager, Roberto Di Matteo, believes that his team will perform well, despite recent comments from their midfielder Frank Lampard that they're not as good as they used to be.
I have a lot of faith in these players, in this team, and they've shown and proven in the last few weeks that they can play with high intensity and at a high level against any team, and I'm looking forward to see my team again repeat a very good game, play a very good game. I am positive about the team, but my players are positive too, because the conversations I have with the players are very positive, so we have great belief in our abilities, and that's what we're going to try to express.
Away from the Champions League, Inter Milan have asked their youth team coach Andrea Stramaccioni to take over the side after sacking Claudio Ranieri. The former Chelsea and Juventus manager had only joined Inter in September, but they won just one of their last 10 league games and sit mid-table in Serie A. They're also out of the Champions League. The Italian football journalist Gabriele Marcotti says the former Chelsea manager André Villas-Boas and the French national team manager Laurent Blanc are among those seen as possible successors.
Both have interlinks. Blanc was at Inter as a player, and Villas-Boas, of course, was there as an assistant. The guy they appointed to replace him is an to replace Ranieri, Andrea Stramaccioni, is an interesting guy because Inter just won the Next Gen Series. He's 36 years old. He's got a good record with the youth side. There's even some suggestion that if he does well, that Moratti may be tempted to stick with him, and bear in mind it's a guy who's never played professional football, who has a degree in law, and who sort of sounds like maybe second coming of a Villas-Boas, or dare I say even a Mourinho.
Here in England, it's likely to be an emotional evening at White Hart Lane in London later when Tottenham replay their sixth-round FA Cup match against Bolton Wanderers. The original match 10 days ago was abandoned following the collapse of the midfielder Fabrice Muamba, who suffered a cardiac arrest. The 23-year-old continues to make steady progress in hospital and is now able to sit up, talk and even watch television. The Bolton manager Owen Call says Muamba has even been able to send his teammates best wishes for the game.
Anybody is able to send you a message saying that, you know, they're getting better and wishing you luck, then obviously that helps everybody. Fabrice had said to Sam, the consultant, you know, that could he pass on the message to wish the lads well, which is remarkable. And when I relayed that to the message to the lads, and I think they took, obviously as you would, take a great boost from that. And that just, for me, sums up Fabrice. Well, he's recovering as he is, he's actually wishing the lads well. It just sums up what a genuinely nice lad is.
There is one other FA Cup six-round replay taking place on Tuesday. Sunderland host Everton at the Stadium of Light. In the Premier League, the leaders Manchester United are now in pole position for the title race. Their 1-0 victory against Fulham opens up a three-point lead over rival City at the top of the table. But with eight games to go, manager Sir Alex Ferguson accepts they'll have to adapt to not playing twice a week.
I'd rather have the Wednesday games. We're used to that. The problem for me really is selecting the right teams now, because we've got most of them available. Nanny starts training on Monday. Mike Owen's not far away. It gives me selection problem to make sure I pick the right team. But as you say, that continuity of Saturday, Wednesday, is gone. We have to adapt to playing one game in 7 days.
There's been a major surprise in the Olympic football qualifying tournament. The United States have been knocked out at the group stage in the CONCACAF zone after a 3-3 draw with El Salvador, which puts the Central American side through instead. It's just the second time that the US will have missed the Olympic men's event since 1976. Next to cricket on the BBC World Service and to Gore, where the wickets have been tumbling steadily on the second day of the opening test between Sri Lanka and England. Having dismissed the home side for 318 on the second morning, England were then skittled out for just 193 by T, and the wickets have continued to fall since. Let's go live now to Gore and get the latest from our reporter Kevin Howes.
There's still an over remaining after this one being bowled by Graham Swan, the man of the moment, but 17 wickets have fallen here today on just the second day of this test, as you say. Graham Swan back in form, he's been struggling just recently, but he's claimed 4 of these second innings wickets for Sri Lanka. Tirumani for 6, he got that with just his second delivery. Then Mahela Jayawardene made 180 first time round, out for only 5. Kumar Sangakkara 14, it took him 44 deliveries for eventually he was caught by Bell. And then Samara Weera was stumped just a few moments ago off the bowling of Swan for 36. So seemingly out of it at the end of the first innings, England are well and truly back in it, but the Sri Lankan lead is 206, and England did not bat well first time round. Have been much better second time around, but they're 81 for 5, Sri Lanka.
Kevin Howes in Gaul, thanks very much indeed. Meanwhile, South Africa have won their 3-match series in New Zealand 1-0 after the third test in Wellington ended in a draw. Graham Smith's side declared on 189 for 3 in their second innings to set New Zealand a target of 389 to win. In the end, the Kiwis finished on 200 for 6 to secure an unlikely draw, with New Zealand's Kane Williamson hitting a second test century. Brian Waddle covered the series for the BBC. I asked him whether South Africa were worthy winners.
Most definitely. They dominated the series. They had more century makers with the bat. Williamson, the only one for New Zealand. Their bowlers were more imposing and more emphatic in what they were able to do. The extra pace gave New Zealand batsmen a lot of trouble. And there were times when New Zealand had chances in the first two test matches, but they didn't have the consistency to continue on with the effort. And consequently, the strength of the South African side proved too much for them. Deserving winners.
Next to tennis news, and it was a tale of contrasting unbeaten runs in Miami on Monday. Victoria Azarenka came from a set and 4-1 down to beat Dominika Cibulkova to extend her run to 26 matches. Roger Federer's 16-match winning streak, though, was unexpectedly ended by Andy Roddick, who beat the Swiss for only the third time in 24 meetings.
Now I feel like I lost against a former world number one. That's how it felt that day. Not that I lose against a guy ranked 30 in the world. That ranking is not real. So it was a tough second round to have. I knew that from the start, and particularly here in Miami, where I lost against him in the past. So I was aware of that, and I didn't underestimate Andy at all. So, but that streak, I mean, it was a nice one to have, but no more than that.
Also on Monday, there were wins for Novak Djokovic, Maria Sharapova and Venus Williams. And among the highlights on Tuesday, Sharapova again against Li Na and Novak Djokovic versus Richard Gasquet. In the NBA on Monday, there were defeats for the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat. The Bulls, who've already qualified for the playoffs, were beaten by 108-91 on their home court by the Denver Nuggets, who are the league's top scorers. Meanwhile, the Heat lost on the road again, having been beaten by Oklahoma. They went down this time 105-90 to the Indiana Pacers. Before we go, our top story again. It's quarter-final day in the European Champions League, the surprise package of the tournament. Apoel Nicosia host Real Madrid, while Chelsea travel to Benfica. And in the first test in Gaul, Sri Lanka have just closed the second day on 84 for 5. That's a lead over England of 209 runs. More details on our website, BBC World Service.